Yo, what's going on, man? You guys are now tuned back into the Free Sauce Podcast, man. We got another banger of an episode for you guys today, man. We happy to be back in front of y'all, man. Happy to be back in front of the lights, man. Back in front of the cameras, man. All that good stuff. You already know, before we get started, make sure you hit that like button below. Comment, share, subscribe. You already know we back on the run. I think we on the run of 200 now. So smash that subscribe button below, man. Make sure you go get you some merch. www.freesauceshop.com. Make sure you go grab some merch. Very cheap. Very great material. Yeah, man. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into the episode. You're going to introduce yourself.
Yes, sir. My name is Aruna Sisoko. I'm from West Africa, Mali. Yeah, student athlete at ISU. Play basketball here. Been here for like 5 years now.
And sir, to get the episode started, I wanted to ask you, like, what made you decide ISU for basketball?
It was straight basketball reason why I decided to come to ISU, not because of school, none of that stuff. Yeah, it was straight because of basketball reason, because when I'm coming out of high school, you know, play basketball in high school, my junior and senior year in high school, got recruited by, you know, some schools, but I feel like ISU was, you know, the best fit for me, so came, visit. You know, at the time, the coaching staff that was here, I messed with them a lot, and we clicked, and then I decided to come here. Then after the fact, then I started to worry about school. I was like, oh, how is school like? Then, you know, ended up being a good school, so it was great.
Like, being a student athlete, right? Well, how do you draw the line? Like, you know, like, how do you try to separate them two?
Yeah, it is definitely something that is could be challenging for sure. Mm-hmm. I feel like when you come, it's like challenging as far as time management and stuff like that. Because when you come with, like, you know, you have some agendas, you have some schedules that you need to follow. You know, you're not like everybody else. You know, you have some responsibility. You have like workout, you have practices, you have weightlifting, then plus that you have study hard, then you have school. So
much more structured day than the average student.
It is for sure. When you're a freshman, it can be really, really challenging, because when you're in a dorm, you were in mix of a lot of other students that don't have the same schedule as you. So, like, when you're trying to be like them, it could be really, can throw you off track, you know. Mm-hmm. You're not going to take care of what you're supposed to take care of, you know, as far as workout, put extra work in and stuff like that. But as you grow up, you just learn to balance it out, you know.
Yeah. That's a great way to look at it. I feel like sometimes, you know, you come in as a college student, you want to be able to, you know, have as much fun as possible.
Facts.
You want to, you know, be able to, you know, do all the things that your parents probably tell you not to do. So having that type of structure, it kind of keeps you balanced. It kind of keeps you, you know, your head leveled, and make sure, you know, you handle the priorities of why you are right here to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time, man. Just handle your business and everything else going to feel much better. All the funds, all the activities, it's going to feel much better once all the business taken care of. We say it all the time.
It's not like you don't have time to have fun. Like, mm-hmm. You have time to have
time.
Fun. Yeah, exactly. You have time to have fun. It's just like, it's a matter of, like you say, priority. You know, you got to know your priorities. Even if you want to go out, just make sure you get your extra work in. You know what I mean? Let's say you want to go out on a Saturday night. Let's say Saturday afternoon, or like before you go out, nighttime if you want, because the gym is like, you know, 24-hour access. Our facilities are, so you can just, you know, grab a manager, somebody that can help you to rebound, or you can get on a shooting gun, and just get your work in. Actually, that actually make you feel better. You feel like you earned the night. You go out after you put your work in, you feel better. There's no, like, guilt of, like,
because it's like, I feel like it's so cliche, but it's like, what the fuck is we partying for?
Right.
At the end of the day, what the fuck is we partying for? I feel like too much of anything is going to, like, get burnt out. It's gonna get ran out at a certain time. So too much of partying, that shit gonna start to feel like, man, partying, that shit played out. When really that's supposed to be the fun things. Party is supposed to be the fun shit. So if you partying 5 days out the fucking week, of course partying gonna seem like it's boring. You know, it's not gonna seem fun. You ain't even finna be drunk no more, cause you drunk all day. So it's like everything is good in moderation. That's the main thing. It's like, we can't spend all our time having fun. We gotta handle business, and fun gonna feel like the fun.
Sure.
You're not just doing it just to be doing it.
Exactly.
And then on top of that too, like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like it gets boring seeing the same people over and over and over and over.
At the parties?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes it really do get boring.
Yeah. You learn that fast. If you a type of nigga that, or a girl or a man that go outside often, you see that fast. Like, damn, I'm starting to see the same motherfuckers at these
parties. Over and over and over.
It's like the big shit. Yeah, you see a different motherfucker here and there every other week, but it's like, damn, I'm noticing it's the same motherfuckers partying.
And you get tired of the conversations too. Because you can only talk to somebody so many times to find so many interests.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like we talk about it too, like knowing which friends are what for what. So mm-hmm. it's like you say, you get tired of talking to them. That's because they just for partying. They not afford to have conversations mm-hmm. there. Y'all don't connect on an intellectual level. Y'all here to have a part, to party and have a good time. So it's like when you kind of try to mix friendships a little bit and take friends from other activities and take them different places, it becomes hard for them to mix and intertwine, because y'all met them in a party environment, so y'all kind of, that's y'all relationship. So I just think that's something in college that we struggle with, is just
separating friends,
friends, friend groups. And I just think that comes from the college environment. We try to be so, you know, it's so mixy here, so we just all try to clash and combine. And I think we learn over time, it's like you can't really do that. Everybody personalities don't mix.
Facts.
That is true.
That's true.
And I kind of wanted to, you know, go back into the little basketball situations a little bit. Yeah. So when did you start playing basketball? Like, how did that start out for you?
I started playing basketball when I was like 13, 14. I kind of started late, because where I'm from, you probably could relate it to that. Everybody, you know, as a boy, you just play soccer growing up. As I got older, taller, that's when I started to get interest. People started to tell me to play basketball, but I didn't actually listen. But my mm-hmm. brother used to play basketball, so I used to go and like trying to watch him type thing. So like I watch him, then I mess around, get the ball, shoot around a little bit. I'm like, man, this is kind of fun also. And I talked about this before, and where I'm from, they kind of separated basketball and soccer a little bit. They make basketball as female sport. They say basketball is like for females. So like a lot of females tend to gravitate toward basketball. Even right now, if you look at it, our country, the females are way better than men in basketball. They have a lot of accomplishment for sure.
Damn.
That is a fact. Yeah, on the international level, they just win way more than men. So, but we get in there. We come. Yeah. we gonna catch up. We got some ground to make up. We gonna catch up. Yeah. So it was a lot of girls there. That was like part of my motivation to go there. So as you go there, you see a lot of girls there. Man, this is fun. You just mess around. Then I was somebody that was athletic, so like dunking was like very impressive to all the basketball players. So I was like, I just grabbed the ball, run, dunk. So like everybody get, oh my god, impressed. Mm-hmm. So like that's some kind of thing that gets you, like, you know what I mean, that gets you some, that gives you some kind of excitement, you know, those like attention that you get from those things. I was like, man, this is kind of cool. So I started to like it. So, yeah, fast forward, started playing. Then now my dad started to mess, didn't like it really. So my dad started telling me you cannot mix both basketball and school. You know, it's kind of hard to balance it out. You know, if you started to mess with your school, you're going to have to stop. So I had to make a decision, you know. So I was forced to do good in school in order to play basketball. And also my dad was my principal, so there was not like, I couldn't really lie to him about school stuff. He knew exactly what's going on. So yeah, then I was forced to make a decision to handle my business in school, do good in school in order to play basketball. So I was able to keep that up a little bit. So I got better a little bit. I got better. Then when I started playing some tournaments and stuff like that, then fast forward to 2015, then so there was the African U15 African Cup going on in Mali. So I got a call, invited to the tryout. I made the team. So from the tryout, there was a lot of kids. I don't know how I made it. I made the roster, but it was a lot of kids. So yeah, I made a roster. Then Fast forward, we did a tournament. We did good. So the tournament was good. It was big at the time. I remember because we was in the TV, national TV, like every night. It was like big deal. It was a lot of media. It was like kids running around our bus. We get escorted from the hotel to the game.
Yeah.
Man, that was...
That was a life.
Yeah, it make you feel like some...
Yeah,
it
make you feel like somebody, yeah.
Make you feel like somebody important, so... Then we go to the game. After the game, people ask for pictures and stuff like that. People watch us on the TV. So, and they made us picture. They make our picture in like billboards around the city. So that was like big too. Then that was actually the first time my family has saw me play, see me play in TV. So after the tournament, so during the tournament was going on, we did good. We made all the way to the final. We lost to Egypt in like nearly a buzzer beater. So they went by one. So that was crazy. A lot of people didn't take it good. He was like, it was emotion involved. A lot of people cried and stuff like that. That was like their first experience with basketball because, as a, like I say, my country is like a soccer country. So people really started to get interested in basketball. So that's how my family actually was like, oh, wow, you're actually doing something good with your life, mm-hmm. basketball thing, you know. So that's how... So now my family, actually my mom, actually be asking me, did you go to practice today? And stuff. Yeah. I'm like, wow, since when you care about my practice?
Full 180. She went from, nah, I ain't really fucking with that, to now, man, you make sure you're in the gym, yeah, right? You putting up shots.
Exactly. So yeah, after that, yeah, that was really it. Yeah. So that's how I kind of started.
And it's kind of, it sounded like it's just with parents, the main thing was like seeing is believing with them.
Oh yeah,
they
yeah,
gotta.
Exactly. Oh yeah,
they gotta see something for them to
believe.
Yeah, because you know, I mean, and we could talk about parents if y'all want to, but I think like the main thing with parents is they have a vision for you.
Oh yeah,
it's from like, once they found out the gender, boy or girl. Oh, this my little NFL nigga. This my little. This my my doctor. You know, this my lawyer. Whatever the case may be, it don't gotta be them things, but just whatever the case may be, they got a roadmap that they want their kid to follow.
Right,
and I think that once the kid starts to, the parent for a certain amount of time, they got influence over there. Oh, so yeah. The parents, they influence what sports you in, what clubs you participate in, all of that.
Your friends, like, all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, everything. They have a very strong influence until they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the hardest part for parents is once they see, oh, my kid is turning out, not turning out different, but he's going down a different path than what I thought, than what I wanted him to do. Not necessarily something bad, you know, something right, illegal, yeah, something like exactly. that. Just a different path than what I thought he would do. YouTube versus college.
Right.
You know, he a car man versus, you know, a white collar man. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just different routes. And I feel like for them to fully be on board with what you're doing, they got to see some type of revenue, progress,
yep.
something. For them to be like, okay, I got to abandon what I wanted for my child. This is what they want to do. They succeed. And now I'm 10 toes behind them with this. Yeah.
Like, in a sense, like, the saying talk is cheap. Because, like, I feel like they have realized, like, a lot of people, even in their lives, have told them, oh, I'll be doing this and come back with no result. Mm-hmm. So, like, actually seeing, like, progress, like you're saying, the person coming back with, like, some type of, like, reward or results, they're more likely to believe you because now you actually telling what you're telling them, you're actually doing it.
Right. It's like, we can't fault them for it because at the end of the day, they want the best for us.
Yep.
Sure.
That's all they want. So we can't fault them for it. But I just think that sometimes parents play the biggest role in, like, us becoming very strong-minded, very strong, like, this is my vision. I'm locked mm-hmm. in, locked in, locked in. Because a lot of times that can be seen as our parents being some of our biggest doubters or haters or whatever words you want to insert there. So I think that if when kids are able to overcome their parents and able to, because a lot of times we want to prove our parents wrong. Like, man, she thought that I couldn't do this, or right, she thought that. True. And it's not necessarily she thought or they thought that you couldn't do that. It's just that they was raised in a certain time where all they know, they was programmed to think work. Right.
Work, yeah.
So a lot of our parents might still be in that mindset, whereas they want us to work, they want us to get a good job, and they feel like that's all. Whereas we come from a different generation, so we might want something different.
Yeah.
So
school, work,
Yeah,
get a degree, go to work.
Yeah, that's what they were programmed to do. So I think that it just becomes a little bit hard. So once you were able to overcome that, and a lot of kids, they want to prove their parents wrong. So once they're able to, hey, mom, yeah, you said I went did it. Look what I did. And it's kind of like not prove them wrong, but kind of like make them proud because our parents just want the best for us, but they're just doing the best with what they had. You know?
In a sense, too, though, like, I think they are two sides of the spectrum. As in, like, one side, they love you the most. Mm. Nobody in this world will ever love you more than your parents, your mama or your dad. Nobody. And then the other side, they also, in a sense, are your biggest haters.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. They're two sides of the spectrum. But at the same time, though, what parents struggle to do with is finding the balance, finding the middle ground. I think that's what most parents, it's either I'm going to be on one side for today and be on the other side tomorrow. We're not going to meet nowhere else. So, like, once kids are able to actually understand that, that's when they start to actually realize, like, they're doing all this out of love.
I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate, and I'm going to say it's no in the middle.
No, it's not.
Because to your kids, you're either going to come off as a strict parent or the cool parent. There is no, oh, my mom, she's either the strict parent or the cool parent. My dad, he the strict or the cool nigga. Like, there's no in between. So I think that I agree with you, but I was just saying, like, I think that that's where it is. We struggle to find the balance, but we can't try to balance it. We got to pick one side. It's like, I'm going to either be the cool parent or strict parent.
It's like, they try to expose you to what the world is going to see you as. In a sense, like, that world is either going to love you or sometimes hate you. Yeah. They try to make sure you understand both sides before throwing you out to the wolves, if that makes sense. Because I feel like sometimes a lot of children or a lot of adults, young adults, don't understand. The things that your parents might be doing, you might not understand right now that is for the benefit for you in the long run. Mm-hmm. You thinking in the now moment. Mm-hmm. You thinking now, this shit, what the fuck you telling me to do? Yeah. That's not it.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I want to do this.
Yeah. And then you, 5 years from now, you sit back, you realize, damn, she ain't never lied to me.
She would have saved
me. Yeah, but that's so true. But right now, I see exactly, because like from like fourth, fifth, sixth grade, I used to think like my dad hated me, bro, for some reason. Because like he was just school, like do good, like do the right thing, don't be out in certain age, like don't be outside when it's dark outside and stuff like that. I was like, man, why he's discipline me like I'm a girl or something. Like that. You know what I mean? I feel like, because I used to think, oh, if I was a girl, I would understand, but I'm a boy, so I got to
do whatever I want
to
do.
So I used to think he used to not like me. So like I used to get whooped like for like a lot of things, like every little thing, that I did wrong, I get whooped. But at that time, I used to think like, man, this man must not like me. Yeah. Are you really my dad?
You know what I mean? So angry.
I was like, yeah, exactly. But as I got older, I started to see. I was like, oh my, I'm glad he did what he did, because if he would let me do whatever I wanted to do, I would not turn out this way. I don't know where I would be, but I probably wouldn't be here right now because of the education, like the discipline that he gave me early on. I feel like that's part of the reason why I was able to come here on my own and, you know what I mean, stay disciplined, stay focused and do what I gotta do every time, you know. I really salute him for that, even though he's not here right now, so.
Yeah. He passed away. Yeah, rest in peace to Pop.
Yeah, for sure.
Appreciate. But just piggybacking on that, man, I think that parents just play a big role in like a kid's success. You know, I think you could, especially in college and things like that, you can look at a kid and be like, oh, he comes from a home where, he comes from a good home where they was on his ass, but it's all love. You know, he was taught the right shit. He was taught right from wrong and, you know, shit like that. Where you could tell, I don't know, you know, he might have bounced around a little bit. For whatever reasons, he might have been raised by whoever. But I could tell, like, good home versus just a rough upbringing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that parents play a big role in shaping a kid's, you know, future.
That's for sure.
But I want to switch back to basketball a little bit. I want to ask you, like, what's kind of like the toughest lesson you learned through your whole basketball journey so far?
Man, I would say, like, basketball is a sport there is a lot of ups and there is a lot of downs. So, like, I learn on the down days. When you, like, up, you know, you like, everything good. Like, every day is Sunday, everything great. But on the down days, like, you just got to, like, stay focused, do the same thing, you know what I mean? Because, like, when you, even when you're going through tough time, you know what I mean, you're not making shot or, like, you're not getting the playing time you want to get or, like, you get through some injuries, you know. It's a lot of, like, you know, obstacle in your way, you know, a lot of, like, you know, adversity on your way. I feel like I learned you got to just stay focused and do what you got to do every time, you know what I mean? Even if you struggle on the court, like I mentioned, you got to, like, keep doing the same thing, like, the same work. Like, you got to, like, put in the same work, stay consistent. It's going to pay you back. They say the work would always pay you back. That shit is so true, but you might not see the results when you want it, but down the line, that go not just for basketball, that go with anything. If you put the work in, you're going to pay you back at some point. It might not be when you want it, you know, it's going to pay you at some point, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's very important. We touched on it for all our people who come back and watch multiple episodes. If you watch the Jalen episode, he touched on it big time. Basically, like, one of the hardest parts for him and his journey is just focusing on the when am I going to get it. You know, I see I'm putting in the work, you know, I see I'm working hard, but when is the return going to come? Mm-hmm. And I feel like for a lot of people that's in the grind, that's the hardest thing, because it's you want to see results, yeah. But little do you know, like, you're making progress every day.
Yep.
It's just that better. You're so in it, you're so locked in, you're so in it, you can't zoom out and you can't see that, damn, a week ago I wasn't doing this. A month ago I wasn't. 2 months. So I think that becomes the hardest thing, is like, when am I going to get what I want? But I think that's kind of a gray area, because I think as humans, we're always going to be trained to want more. Or kind of like,
we're greedy.
Yeah, it's like, we'll never be done, I feel like. If you're one of those people that's in the grind. Some people, yeah, he's going to be done. I just want to do this for the rest of my life, and I'm set there. I'm not talking to those people. I'm saying the people who strictly in the grind right now. I just feel like once they get to what they want right now, okay, I'm going to chill here for a minute, but I got some other things I want to accomplish. Because I think that we always get exposed to more and more and more. The more we level up, the more that you get exposed to. So it's hard not to want more.
Yeah. And then on top of that too, like, you touched on, like, just being consistent in the gym.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, like, me and Ricky, we used to go in the gym and we would hoop. He is better than he looks. Like, he is phenomenal at basketball. Right, like, yeah. It takes a lot for me to beat him. But outside of that, it's just the fact that, like, sometimes, you know, like, every time we go, it's like you see a new level to his game, or you see a new level to, like, how somebody else plays. So I think sometimes, like, you might not see the certain results, like you're saying, like, at the moment, but people that are around you can see the level that you're elevating to if you actually stay consistent in the gym.
Sure.
And that's just, it's like, what he's saying, a deep bag. Somebody who got the deep bag. It's like, damn, this nigga, he just keep pulling.
He pulling shit out of his ass. I ain't never seen before.
It's just like that. It's like that with life. You got to be so whatever your craft is, you got to do it so much, and you got to be so good at it that it's like, no matter what somebody does to stop you, you always got to counter. You always got to count. I didn't been here. I didn't been in this gym for 10,000 hours. Whatever you going to do, I got something for it. You know?
Yeah, he's having me running around in circles.
And life, that's all it is. When life hits you with some punches, man, I knew this was going to come. I got something for that. Man, I knew she was going to do that. I knew he was going to do that. I got something for that, though. I just feel like in life, it's the same thing as on the court, having a deep bag. You just got to get so good at life, which is just taking the punches. You just got to get good at taking the punches and rolling.
Yeah, we also, too, like, injury can be, like, you know what I mean, something that is big. That might not take, like, something physical. Like, mentally, it can, like, really mess with you, you know what I mean? You, like, that's when, after the injury, that's when that self-doubt might come, like, where am I really who I was before the injury? You know, mm-hmm. Self doubt. You can't really doubt yourself. You know, what I mean, injury. I feel like injury is more mental than really
physical,
for sure. Physical, because, like, it takes a lot of mental to, like, the fact that you just, like, you don't appreciate being healthy till you get injured,
man.
You know? God, when you, like, hurt, like, you go to practice, you're on the sideline, bro, you just watch practices, or you're just on the sideline, just watching the game, you're like, man, y'all don't realize how blessed y'all are right now. You know, you look at it differently. You see a certain, you get another appreciation for, like, you know what I mean, being healthy. But that's something we take it for granted, you know. Mm-hmm. You just gotta,
it's like, you don't know what is missing until it's gone. You know, like,
that's true. Like, yeah, that's exactly.
Because, you know, like, you didn't think about injuries because you've been playing the whole games. Mm-hmm. So now that you actually step back, you now have to, you know, look at things from a different perspective. And sometimes that's what you need. You need a little break to see things from different perspectives because you've only been seeing something straightforward.
Right.
Sometimes you need that little injury to, you know, pull you back to be like, okay, damn, I've been underlooking this. Right. Next time I come back, I'm going to work on this better.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Sometimes you need those little breaks in life to, you know, help you figure out things more than you should.
That is true, for sure. You know, you like I said, injury. And also, it make you realize, like, man, I was not giving this thing my 100%. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This thing can be taken away from me, like, anytime. If it does, would I have some regrets? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're going to think of yourself, like, man. If you have some regret, you're going to have some regret at the time. You'll be like, man, I feel like I didn't do everything that I could. You know, I always could do more, you know. But that's life, though. But, like, it make you see, like you say, it make you see different perspective and different appreciation. You know, when you get back from injury, you actually put in more work. Yeah, personally, I'm speaking from experience. It happened to me. You know, I had several injuries, but that actually, after I got back, it actually pushed me to work even harder.
I was just going to say, with athletes, I think that's one of the greatest, like, tests if you see if somebody really want it or they just here for the ride, you know? Because with athletes, I feel like they have so many injuries, especially lingering injuries. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, so say you got a lingering, say it's a hamstring injury, something like that, right?
Yeah.
So let's say you're working at it, you're going to PT, physical therapy, all of that, not, you know, it's just still lingering. Even through the off season, you know, you taking the time off, you seeing doctors getting treatment and shit like that, taking time off. I feel like a lot of guys, that's when they go into the kitchen and they say, man, I'm going to change how I'm eating. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like I've tried everything physically possible to rehab it, train it, strengthen it, whatever the case may be. I've tried all of that. Let me go into the kitchen. Let me change how I'm eating.
Yeah, that's big.
Let me change how I'm sleeping. Let me do something that's not different. pertaining to the physical side, because obviously that ain't what the problem is. I'm doing everything there. Let's go outside of that, outside of the court, and let's do something like that's for the mind, body, soul, basically.
Yeah, you mentioned eating. Eating is big. People don't realize, like, you, everybody, athlete or not athlete, everybody need to be careful what you put in your body.
Yeah.
That shit is crazy. There is a lot of shit out here that is definitely not good for your body. You can work out as much as you want. There's some kind of shit that you need to not be eating. You need that go with discipline, you know what I mean? Something that you have in your fingertips, you know what I mean? Okay, for example, I'm going home, man, I'm tired, I don't want to go home and cook some good meal. I'm in McDonald's, I'm going to just stop in McDonald's and get some quick food. You might not realize that's like, can be something that really like going to put you, you know what I mean? That's going to delay your progress, like as far as your body fat percentage wise, as far as like getting in shape, it's just... like I said, yeah, meal is very important. Be careful what you eat.
It's like outside of like money conversations, health is the biggest conversation outside of that. Like, just like of the fact that there's a lot of studies, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of researches about like your body and the things that you could do to help live longer or to help, you know, stop certain things from happening. And a lot of people don't take the consideration of looking into it.
And y'all from other countries, so yes. I'm gonna ask y'all, what, like, have y'all been able to see, like, when you came here, were you able to see like the difference between the food where you're from and then here? Was it like a 180, like, oh, we don't have none of this shit here, or y'all put more sugar here, more salt, more, was you able to see a difference, both of y'all?
I would say yeah, just because like back home is just like it's more like healthy. Like
more natural,
more
shit.
Natural,
yeah.
More like
earthy shit.
Yeah, like you go into, like, you know, they go into like supermarkets and buy like a lot of greens. Like here, I probably eat greens, like I'm gonna say like once every week, right. And I'm I might I mean, I might be a college student, so people might be like, okay, yo, it doesn't really matter. But at the same time, I'm like, back home, I feel like I eat a lot more, like, healthier than I do here, just because, like, fast food restaurants is like almost at every corner. Man. Like, you can't miss it.
Especially in college town.
You can't miss it. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, and also maybe being a college student too, I'm not giving myself the benefit of a doubt to eat healthy eventually. But it's just like, I feel like nowadays many people don't have the luxury of actually, you know, eating healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I definitely saw it, you know, as when I first moved here. But I was fortunate enough to be with a host family that used to cook, you know. Mm-hmm. AJ, shout out to her. She used to cook a lot. So, like, that would actually, when I first got here, I was not first exposed to the fast food. So, she always used to cook for us dinner and stuff like that. So, I definitely, so it was different type of food, but she made sure that we eat healthy. Mm. You know, she really helped with that. But after I moved and came in college, then I saw this food that they gave us, and, you know, the food that we have in dining hall and, like,
different a lot places. Of burgers.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, man, if you don't be careful, if you, not even be careful, if you don't know it, because, like, it's like a lot of ignorance. Yeah, you might not know it. You know what I mean? If you what you don't know what you don't know, you just eat whatever you can put your hands on. It just does this part that can be really a little bit dangerous, you know. But home, I feel like we have, like you say, healthy food, like, you know, carbs, rice, you know, we eat a lot of rice, you know. And also, like you say, grains and, like, with sauce, any different kind of sauce, like some type of grain in it. And it's not like some food that be conserved. It's like, especially in my family, we like cook. They cook like literally every day and my every grandma. Single meal, like breakfast, lunch, dinner. Right. Like, it's not like a food that is like conserved in the fridge the next day or like some for like a week. You know, whatever is cooked that day is just
it's gonna finish.
Or if it's not finished, you know, get rid of it and cook another
That's what I'm going to get back to. When I say it all the time, the number one thing on my list that I would invest in when I get any type of money is a chef, just because I want that fresh home-cooked meal as much as possible, you know? I feel like that's the biggest thing right now is oh, man, cooking take too much. It take a lot of time. So, yeah, especially in college, yeah, I only got 30, 40 minutes, but in between classes, my only choice is McDonald's. My only choice is Qdoba, is Chipotle, is some fast food shit, some bullshit. So
I mean, every once in a while, you know.
Yeah, so I feel like everything's good in moderation, you know? So I feel like that's something that we all should get back to. I think just eating more earthy shit, more natural shit, less preservatives, less fast food, more whole shit, you know? I feel like that's the biggest thing.
Like, we had somebody on the podcast, like, I think it was like one of the first 10 episodes or something like that, touch on like how easy it is to actually eat so bad, whereas in like all the healthy stuff are like overpriced, if it makes sense. Yeah. Like, it's just like, it's like in a sense they are literally forcing us to eat so bad.
Oh,
and yeah, I think that's part of it too. You go to Whole Foods, it's like, damn. That's how much it costs for some, you know, some real, say it could be some natural peanut butter, you know, some raw nectar honey, some shit like that. Like, damn, I'm spending $400-$500 just, and it's just for 2 weeks for two people, mm-hmm. You know, so.
Yeah, for
it. Yeah, yeah, man, like, you got to have a nice paying job. So I think it's just part of the conditioning, you know. Yeah, it's just, it's tough. I hate making excuses for us, but it's tough not to.
It is, yeah.
It's tough not to.
It is.
You know, I hate making excuses, and I hate saying, oh, but they doing this to us, they did that. Yeah, that's true, but we gotta wake up as well. Because I feel like we in an age where we got a lot of information. We in an information age. So I feel like we got a lot of information. It's at our fingertips. What are we going to do with it is the thing.
And in a sense, too, though, I feel like, You can over consume information, because I feel like sometimes I be reading things over and over and over, and I'm like, is this even true? And then I'll go to Google, research it, and I'm still questioning, is this even true? Because I feel like sometimes, you know, like, you get one side of a spectrum, you might as well also get the other side of it. But then it's like, you're going to have to draw your own conclusion. Is this true or false? And then sometimes I feel like that's where the battle actually is. Because you got so much information on both sides to be either to be proven true or to be proven false. So now, I feel like, now you stuck.
Exactly. To make a decision.
Right. And I feel like that's why it's the information age. We just being overloaded with shit to the point where we don't know what decision to make. Because
it's better than not having information at all.
Yeah,
though.
It is.
I don't.
It is.
It is. But it's like,
damn.
We gotta be better at making decisions. And yeah. It's kind of like with the kind of like with Instagram. You know, you think you got more options than what you really have. Kind of, you give you the illusion of, oh, I'm looking at all these girls. I'm looking at all these beautiful girls. Okay, yeah. You know, I got one at the home, and that's perfectly fine. But I see all these beautiful girls. It's like, damn, I feel like they would be good partners and shit like that, not knowing that you're not clicking with none of them. It's just you're going from a looks perspective. Yeah. The illusion of more options, you know. I feel like that's what we in right now. With not just women, but just illusion of more option when it comes to career choices, when it comes to finance options, when it comes to just everything. I feel like we're getting bombarded with too many options. It's like kind of at the look at the ice cream board.
Oh my god,
it's like, damn, you got 50-60 things. What am I finna get? It's like that.
And you're gonna get the same one over and over and over because you don't trust that 50
right times. So I feel like that's what we're in right now. We're just being bombarded with info, and it's hard to make a decision on what we're gonna go after.
And in a sense too, I feel like that's for some people it's good, and then for some people it's bad, just because like I feel like some people need all the flavors on the board, and then some people just need the one out of like the 56. You know, sometimes, you know, you just gonna have to figure out which part of what side you want to be on. Because I feel like too much information can be bad, but at the same time too, it can be good for the people that are educated enough in those fields, just because they can make a better educated guess than just another random person making an option.
Yep, that's true.
And I wanted to, you know, kind of, this has been interesting so far, so I wanted to kind of piggyback on like the basketball aspect. Yeah. Like, who do you think you model your game after?
I would say the Bucks, Bobby Portis.
Bobby Portis?
Bobby Portis.
Yeah, I would say Bobby Portis.
Yeah, if you're from Chicago, you definitely know Bobby Portis.
What about his game resonates with you?
Yeah, I feel like he's somebody that don't do too much. I don't do too much. Just like, you know, trying to like just help the team to win, you know what I mean? Like, if you have me open, knock down, you know, open shot, you know, drive, you know, cut, play defense, rebound, make tough plays. I feel like that's just me, you know what I mean? So that's how I feel like, man, as I watch the Bucks and playoff, I'm like, man, that's really, I really see him. But I'm more athletic than him.
So, yeah, gonna give you that prize.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, that's a player that all coaches want. Somebody, it sounds, that's a player that wants to win. He gonna do whatever. Mm-hmm. Hey, what y'all need me to do? I'm here to win. Right, you know, exactly. What am I here to do? What's my role? And I'm gonna play that so we can get this W. We can get championship, whatever. I feel like, you know, you put him in a group of, you know, with the Pat Bevs, you know, the Bobby Portis's, Giannis's, things like that.
Russ.
Russ. Yeah, real gritty players that they just want to win. They love the game so much, they want to be on the court by any means necessary, helping the team.
Yeah, I feel like it's few of those guys for sure, but like a lot of people say that, but they don't really mean it.
Nah, you see it on the court.
Yeah, people say that, but they don't really mean it. It's hard. I don't even blame them because like it's human nature to want it more, you know what I mean? You go out there, you do all the little things, you see somebody else score like, you know what I mean, 30, 20, you know what I mean? You're like, man, damn, I want to do the same, you know what I mean? I'm capable of it, but that's not your role, you know what I mean? You got somebody else that is for that.
That's one thing that, as a fan, sometimes I feel to realize. Because, like, you know, you're like, we all, I gamble. I bet on a couple games here and now, where I'd be like, you played 30 minutes just to score 5 points. It's crazy to me. Sometimes I think that shit, it's crazy to me. But then I
PJ Tucker ass nigga.
Bro, it's so crazy to me. But then I sit back and I realize, I'm like, hold on. Like, they have other scorers in the game for a reason. They have players to rebound for a reason. They have players to assist for a reason. Like, sometimes as a fan, we fail to realize, like, sometimes the player that just is on the court in the NBA game just rebounding will give me 100 points in 10 minutes.
Facts.
On another field. Facts. We'll drop 100 points on me in 10 minutes.
Of course.
Without even sweating.
Facts. And like, the number 15 guy is running circles around
anybody.
Any LA Fitness player.
Even
name them.
D1 players. Like, yeah. A lot of people don't realize like the skills that get them to that point. And now that they are at that point, their roles have changed.
Yeah, not to catch you. Even if you look at a lot of those players, if you look at them earlier, like high school, even
straight
in college,
buckets.
They were buckets.
Straight buckets.
Pat Bell.
Like, yeah, exactly.
He was dropping 33. Like, straight buckets.
They had to like modify the game. That's actually hard. You know what I mean? You have to like
change your game
and to adjust to the team. You know what I mean? That's actually hard. It's taking a lot of sacrifice and maturity that a lot of people don't have. Just,
and that's what we struggle with as fans. Because, I'd be like, you needed one more point.
Yeah.
And you play how many minutes?
And that's why, with the NBA, I blame us fans for how the points trend is going. You see 150, 160 point niggas dropping 70 like,
no
off, like back to back.
No defense.
I feel like I blame the fans though. I blame us though. Because that's what is entertaining to us, the basket, the bucket. Not to me though. I like a
good defense.
I like a low scoring. I like a 98 to 96 game.
As a fan, do you think you will be out of your way to DM a player because you messed up?
There's
fans that be doing that right now.
He said parlay. I thought he was just going to say if you fuck up. A parlay? Me no.
But I know what? People that have.
I can see if somebody do that.
Probably even me, bro.
Yeah.
No bullshit. People be like, man, bro, I needed just you to make one more bucket. I needed you to get one more rebound, bro. Money, bro. I'm like, I don't know what to do.
I can see why people can do it because they. But at the same time, you got to be like, nobody told you to put $100
on me.
Nobody told you to do that. You could have DM'd me and been like, "Hey, bro, how you feeling tonight? I'm thinking of putting this on you." And I could have told you, "Hey, my right ankle, so I don't do that."
And even though you're putting yourself into your pity, because
now this tampering all type of shit. But still, I could have told you, I ain't with that tonight. I'm not 100% tonight, so don't do that. But ain't nobody tell you to go put that $100 on me, so you can't be mad at nobody but yourself. And the house is always gonna win. Never forget the moment that you see a FanDuel logo on the NBA court, just know the house will always win.
A little bit.
For real?
It's like when you go to a casino. I'm going to say 95% of the time, the house going to win.
Watch a Bulls game. It's going to be a FanDuel logo on the court. That means they're sponsored. It's money involved here. It's money involved with the NBA. DraftKings. Bron, if you got Bron on Instagram, he just signed some type of deal with DraftKings. Whenever you see that, the house is always going to win.
It's also the fact that they have a lot of teams in place to do all those research, to put all those odds out, to put all those numbers out. So of course they know what that player is capable of doing because all the computerized system that they have in place. But like sometimes you might win here and then, you think you got them figured out.
And when did this shit start? When did like the sports betting shit start?
I'm gonna say like it's been around, but I'm gonna say like
when did it pick up? Like 2016? Yeah,
like
15?
I would say like 5 to 7 years ago. Like when we were in high school.
And I would say that's when we to me as a fan watching, that's when I got like the last basketball that was really like had me on the edge. Cause I remember, I remember watching 2016 finals. I was in Florida. I will never forget it. It was one of the only finals I watched game 1 to game 7. I feel like that was the last time the Warriors Cavs. I feel like that was the, once KD left, I feel like we going into crazy times now. I feel like even when he joined, it was getting to that point. But once he left, I feel like now it's just the league is going crazy. I feel like we in the entertainment age. So I feel like it's just all entertainment. Nothing really for the game no more. So I feel like the NBA just in a weird space. I still watch it. I still love the NBA. But I feel
like sports is changing.
It's a business.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like even like you can even say the same thing for like soccer. Like you got now like leagues being formed where like they want to sign players for like excess amount of money.
Saudi leagues and shit.
Yeah, like excess amount of money. And then you start to realize like these sports is not how it was growing up. Like I used to stay up all night watching a soccer game. Now I'd be damned watching more than 45 minutes of a soccer game.
Yeah.
Like, just because, like, I don't find, like, I don't know if I lost a love for it, but I don't find the excitement in it no more. It used to be more exciting.
That's good to hear, though. It's just not American sports. It's just sports.
It's just sports in general.
But I think, like you said, it's just it go back to being a business.
Yeah. Like, it's changing. And I hope one day they come back to their senses for us fans to not really influence that much. Man. Like, it would never get to that point.
Man. Do you watch the NBA?
Yeah.
What teams you liking this year?
Mavericks. Mavericks. Kyrie, I'm a big Kyrie fan.
Okay. Who you liking from the East?
Oh, the East. I want to say the Bucks.
I knew he was going to say that since Bobby Portis.
Bucks is nice. Joel Embiid was going crazy.
He's hurt now.
Yeah.
He just got hurt. Man. And who else is in the East? East is sweet, though. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
Like, West.
Yeah. It's been like that for the past couple of years. Well, like, the West is stacked.
Mm-hmm.
And then the East, don't get me wrong, you still got the Celtics. And, you know, I think that's my favorite to make it out.
Yeah, Celtics.
Like, I think they're probably going to figure it out this year.
You think so? They scaring me. I thought, if we go back to our first episode, my pick was a finals rematch. I think I said Denver and Boston.
Yeah.
If Denver make it out, Clippers looking crazy.
Yeah.
Now they're not going to be.
So who you got right now, who would you say is going to meet in the finals?
Right now, I would say the Clippers. The Timberwolves looking crazy too. But like, I would say Clippers as of right now. But the Suns is picking it up. He's figuring it out.
West is crazy, man.
West is like.
Best in the West.
You could probably have five teams legit from the West.
Literally.
And then have like two legit teams from the East. Mm-hmm.
So you say Clippers from the West.
Clippers from the West. Yeah. It's going to be Bucks and Celtics from the East.
Bucks and Celtics. Okay. Celtics. Who you?
Probably Clippers and the Sun or the Nuggets.
I think straight out, Celtics going to make it out of the East. Just because they have been going back and forth for the past 5 years.
Mm.
Like, it's about time they figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's my narrative on that. And I know people might say Pacers, but they're still too young.
Not yet. I love them, but not yet.
They're still too young. And then on the West side, you know, whatever team LeBron is on, but I know that's crazy. I can't. And like, they're not all that yet. They're gonna make it out.
You gonna make a trade for somebody,
Bro? Yeah. You know how they did last year. We wasn't supposed to be nowhere near it. And then we got to the finals, Western Conference.
Yeah.
But this year, I think I'm between. Give me. It's tough. OKC's still too young. Timberwolves gonna find a way to choke. they're gonna find a way. I don't know how they're gonna do it, but they're gonna do it. Give me Clippers or Lakers.
Clippers or Lakers?
I think it's gonna be an LA team.
It's gonna be a LA versus Boston. So we might get a tiebreaker on the rings.
Yep,
possibly.
It's just also a crazy narrative I have. Okay, year of 24. Kobe number was 24. We haven't had a Celtics and Lakers match in a really long time for the tiebreaker.
I like that thinking. I wouldn't be mad at that. I wouldn't be mad at that. I'm thinking from the East. I'm going Boston. I pick their ass all the time. I love
Tatum's game.
Yeah, I just love Jason love Tatum and JB. Game. I just love Jason Brown. I mean, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think that pairing is
Drew and Derek White.
I just think they have backcourt. Porzingis. I just think that everybody is.
Yeah.
I think right now is go time. So I'm going Boston from the East. West, I like how the Clippers playing.
Yeah, tough.
And I do fuck with Russell Westbrook heavy, but I just think that they got a curse. I think they got to get out the Staples Center. Maybe next year when they go to the dome shit they building, that shit nice as hell. Shit nice as hell.
Because the Staples Center belongs to the Lakers.
Yeah, that shit nice as hell. But I think that that's what's scaring me. I just think that something is going to happen. I love that Kawhi and PG is healthy.
Yeah.
And have been.
Russ playing phenomenal, but I can't.
So I'm gonna go Boston, and I'm gonna go out on a limb. I'm gonna say Boston, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah, sleeping on the Sun.
Oh, nah, the Suns is the Suns. I will never have faith in Kevin Durant to lead a basketball team to a National Basketball Association championship.
That's a crazy statement.
And Bradley Beal is his held. I don't know right now.
Like, oh no, I feel like if the Suns were gonna figure it out, they would have been figured it out. And it's, like, you've had Devin Booker for a decent amount of years.
Yeah, we got it. D-Book got to get up out of there.
He has to leave.
We want to see him somewhere else. Kind of like, it's like a Dame situation. Yeah. It's like, yeah. when is enough enough, you know? And like, I think, but I think that I want to see a lot of players get it, though. That's why I'm so torn, because I would love to see Dame get a ring. I would love to see Ant get a ring, you know? I would love to see
MJ son.
I would love to see, right. I would love to see Westbrook get a ring, you know? I would love to see I would love to see Brian get another ring. You know, he so he can more. Shut a lot of niggas up.
He need one more.
But
he need one more.
I think it's a lot of,
I feel like even if Bron get another ring, they're gonna find
a way. But a lot of people will flip, though. That's what I will say. A lot of people will flip and be like, you know, he got five.
He's only one away.
Scoring title. You know, I feel like it's not really much that you can say. So I feel like it's a lot of good stories in the NBA this year, though.
Well, Bron is impressive, man. Do you know how hard it is to be play a high level to this age, bro? Like,
21 years in the league,
man. You know how many miles that nigga got on his legs, man?
I didn't even think of
man.
Up that, and down the court.
Jeez.
I'm telling you, even me right now, bro, 4 years into college basketball, bro, you like, God damn, my bags. You
know what I mean? Yeah, man. It's just, but that just go to show you, man, Bron is at the top, so even the niggas under him, that just show how the NBA is on a different level. Yeah. Basketball is on a different level, man. You're really playing against the best of the best.
And what amazes me is the fact that, like, even 21 years, and he still keeps up with the young guys. Like, he's still averaging over 25. In
phenomenal shape. That's all I got to say.
That's on the hill.
Him being in phenomenal shape.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like whatever happens, we're going to have a great series. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I want to bring good basketball back, you know. I like the 70 pointers and shit like that, but
and fans gotta chill out with that parlay shit.
Yeah, man, fuck your parlay. If your parlay don't hit, it don't hit, man. You're gonna be right back on the mile. So it'll be all right.
How you mad you taking a risk and it don't work out?
Yeah, man. Sleep tight, get some rest, dream about some picks. Maybe you'll pick better, but you're gonna be right back on the mile. Right back on the mile, man.
But before I wanted to ask you, like, you know, like, when players reach out to you through their DMs about, like, you not giving them the, you know, the points or like the rebounds that they need, like, what is your first initial reaction?
First of all, I heard NBA players say that, but I didn't know it was gonna happen college level.
Right.
So like, my first thought was like, God damn, bro! I was like, ain't no way. Then I screenshotted and I was like, the crazy thing, that was not only the first time too. So like, it had happened to me before, but I didn't want to believe it.
Yeah.
I thought it was some fake shit. So then the second time it happened, I was like, oh damn, this shit is actually true. Then bro tell me everything that happened. I was like, damn, that's crazy. I was like, man, I don't know what to tell you, but my bad, bro.
Nah, for real. My bad, bro. My bad. But yeah, man, it's been a great episode, man. We had a lot of fun today. Talked a lot of basketball, a lot of gems. Touched on a lot of things, really. So, dope episode. Like I said, man, we happy to be back in front of the lights and the cameras, in front of on y'all TV screens, tablets, phones, wherever y'all watching from. We appreciate y'all watching us, man. But before we get out of here, you got any questions for us or anything?
No, I just want to ask y'all, like, how do you guys, like, balance it out, school, you know, and your, like, social life, you know. How do you guys, like, balance it out?
Let me go first.
It don't matter.
You go first, actually. Okay. My fault.
You know how Ricky touched on it, like, being able to separate your friends? Like, freshman year, it was COVID year, you know, so, like, it's kind of like all friendship were like all like messed together. Like you just, everybody was going out. Everybody, like it was kind of hard trying to separate. Like, okay, when school actually comes back to normal, who am I going to be going to the library with? Who am I going to be, you know, partying with? Who am I going to, you know, be able to, you know, just do stuff with, maybe go watch a sports game, or, you know, just stuff of that nature. So that was kind of like, that was hard freshman year, just since it was COVID and everybody was outside. But then sophomore year, I realized like, okay, this school shit is actually for real. Like, ain't none of that like bullshitting, because I bullshit a lot freshman year. Don't get me, I was just doing shit. And then sophomore year, I was like, okay, this is getting real. Junior year, you know, we moved out, got an apartment. I was living with Reiki, so he helped me, you know, grow as an individual, because we used to wake up early in the morning, go on runs, come back, make breakfast, go to class, do it all over again for the next like 3 months. And that actually, I realized like, sometimes you just need people around you that not necessarily think like you, but can help you think better, can help you see different things that you might not necessarily understand. And then this year, you know, my last semester right now, I'm trying to, you know, enjoy it, because, you know, this is the only time in my life where I'm going to be around people between the age of, you know, 18 to like 25, 26, 27. So I got to be able to understand and enjoy it. And then hopefully when I get out of here, use the skills that I've been able to, you know, hone and get while I'm in college, be able to apply that to the real world.
Yeah, that's dope as hell.
Repeat the question one more time.
How do you balance?
Balance school and social life.
I think it's no set formula. I just think it's dependent on the individual, you know, because I think that some people are more social people. So obviously they're going to go out more than a person that's an introvert, want to be in the house more. Right. I just think that, like I said, it's that balance word. It's hard to balance. I just think that we have to always remember what we're here for. It go back to our first, the first thing we touched on the podcast. Handle the business first. So all that playing, all that partying, all the girls, the boys, whatever you like, whatever you're into, anything, whatever your hobbies you want, all that's going to feel 10 times better if you handle that business first. So I feel like that's, for me, that's the balance. Business first, play later, you know. And if you go about everything like that, I think that is, you'll be okay in college. I think college is not a walk in the park, because I feel like no matter how good you become with that, you still gonna run into some challenges.
But,
college ain't no walk in the park by any means. I'm not saying that at all. This shit ain't walk in the park. But
I feel like some people make it look easier than it is.
Yeah, some people do. And that just comes to preparation.
Yep.
Upbringing, shit, money, finances, all type of shit. It's a lot of factors that go into college. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, as far as social and school, balancing those two, just school first, social second. School don't take that long in college. We just be bullshitting and crying, and yeah, we just be being assholes about it. School ain't really that much in college, man. So just handle that school work, handle them assignments, get a little studying. If you got a test coming up, whatever, knock that paper out early, and then. Really in college, like the weekend start really on Thursday.
Sometimes Wednesday.
Sometimes
night.
A lot of times Wednesday. A lot of times Wednesday. Almost all the times Thursday. So
coming weeks
Monday, Tuesday. Monday. You know, it ain't no school. So it's just yeah. With that, it's just all depending on you, man. I feel like it's just different strokes for different folks, man.
And to also help elaborate your point even more, just we talk about it all the time. Understanding your why.
Yeah.
Like that could be your saving grace in a lot of situations in college. Like, just once you understand why you're doing certain things or why you're here and stuff of that nature, you most likely will always prioritize your well-being first.
Mm-hmm. And then that go back to, yeah, that's a great point. That go back to like different strokes for different folks, because it could be somebody coming in like, man, I'm really just looking to be here for 1 year because I'm trying to take off with this YouTube shit, with this content shit, or I'm just trying to meet some people so I could take this on the road or whatever and do this. So a lot of people come in, I'm just here for 1 year, and like he said, know your why. So if you just here for 1 year to blow up, then you will be at every party. Yep. You know, you will be meeting everybody. You will be very mixed. You will be in a lot of people's faces. So that just go back to what he's saying, know your why. You know,
help you stay focused too.
Yeah, yeah. But man, like I said, it's been a banger of an episode, man. Appreciate all the gems, all the laughs and shit like that. But before we get out of here, you want to get the people somewhere where they can like get in touch with you on Instagram or any social medias and shit like that.
Yeah, my IG is my name, so HAROUNA_S23.
It's gonna be in the bio too.
Yeah, we'll drop everything down in the bio, man. Y'all already know.
Appreciate y'all having me, man.
No problem. It's been a pleasure for you to come over here too.
Real pleasure, man. Like I said, we're glad to be back. Appreciate y'all sticking with us through all this time, man. Make sure you keep on tuning in with IG page. Again, hit that like button, comment, share, subscribe. We want to run to 200. We need it done ASAP, man.
And then before we head out of here, Free Sauce listeners, never, never stop learning.
Never stop fucking learning, man. Free Sauce Podcast. We out. And we out. All these bitches throwaways. Half these niggas is my clones. They should be my protege. Pockets big like Rod. I made a wave. I fall like TSA. Real threat. I don't even gotta pop my shit on loud. Switchies on the Glocks. And these